We're going to go visit the Prospect Stock Exchange. What street is it on, Keaton?
Forest Wall Street. Did you know how happy I was when I thought of that? I thought I was the just most clever motherfucker on the planet.
Can I tell you something? Didn't get it until just right now. This is the first time I understood.
You are an idiot.
Welcome to Dynasty's Child.
We're not recording.
We are recording.
Oh, well.
Hosted by Patrick Magnus.
Look at yourself in the mirror, you're a goddamn mess.
Featuring Keaton DeRocher.
Why do you always want to put chocolate in my life, bro?
And featuring Shelley Verstrait.
He was like one of the only shiny pieces of trash, and now it's just full of trash.
And Jake wears t-shirts, sometimes.
Let me slow your roll here. This is the Dynasty Guru.
What's up, nerds? Welcome to Dynasty's Child, episode 84, your flagship fantasy baseball podcast for the Dynasty Guru, with a focus on Dynasty formats. I'm your host, Patrick Magnus, and I'm also a guy who is in America, and it's pretty sweet. I've had a lot of good diner food so far, and I'm pleased. Also, I'm a writer over at the Dynasty Guru. Today, I'm joined by Shelley Verstrait of Rotographs, Pitchers List, and Prospects 1500. Hello, Shelley.
Hey, welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be here, mostly. Had a few bumps in traveling here. Ended up stuck in Newark, and that was awful. Don't ever go there. Have you ever been there?
I've never been there, and I don't ever want to go there.
No, never fly in there. You know, don't know much about the city as a whole. Maybe it's wonderful, although I will say the areas by the airport were not so wonderful. And the airport itself was hell. It was hell. But I survived. Ugh.
Worst airport in the nation.
Yeah.
Hands down.
I haven't been to one worse yet. And the only comparison I have for it is like Beijing. Beijing is the worst airport I've ever been to. But Newark gave it a run for its money.
My least favorite was Philly for the longest time. And then I had two flights through Newark and I can't even describe to you how much worse Newark was. It's so fucking terrible.
It's awful. Dude, the fire alarm kept going off. And everyone's like, yeah, it's just a normal thing. No problem. Meanwhile, I'd been in line for like 4 hours. Shelley, anything cool happened to you this week?
Not really. I had a good road trip up to go see my best friend up in Northern Virginia.
That's cool.
Yeah. That was pretty cool, except I got stuck in traffic on 95. So I was stuck in traffic for about 2 hours. So that was not cool.
No, that is not cool.
That was not cool. But yeah, that's about it.
Do you like listen? How do you get through that? Music or podcasts or what?
Mainly baseball podcasts. But I kind of ran out about an hour and a half through. So then I had to listen to music. So it was not good.
How are you not into music generally?
I'm not, actually, because I'm weird and I only like to listen to people talk and not sing. So yeah, I turned on the radio and I was like, what the F, what is this? I don't even know what this is. So it was a lot of confusion, actually.
We got to change that, right, Keaton?
Yeah. Do you listen to Guster?
I do not listen to Guster. I don't even know what Guster is.
They're tremendous.
Keaton's favorite band.
You should listen to them.
All right.
They are my favorite band.
My favorite band is a band called Nether Friends. They make great hip hop for kids. Not that you need that in your life, but they do. It's pretty solid. But he is releasing an album a week this year. It's pretty awesome. So anyways, we'll work on that. Keaton, sir, breakfast. It's a little late. We're in the same time zone ish. You know, we're at least in the same country. But did you have breakfast today?
I did. Another protein smoothie. Down another 4 pounds. Killing it.
Damn, dude.
Nice.
I've eaten a diner breakfast every day so far in America. A lot of corned beef and hash. What's your diner dish selection, both of you?
For me, it's probably some type of omelet, like a veggie omelet. So that's kind of my thing.
Can I guess yours?
The same. I would go ham and green pepper. Sure.
Oh, well, that's different than what I was going to guess. I was going to go sweet, not savory. I was thinking like blueberry French toast or like waffles or something.
From a diner?
Yeah.
Nah, I'd go ham and green pepper omelet.
Okay.
With cheddar cheese.
I don't like omelets, you guys. So just saying. show rundown today. We're going to review the league. We're going to hit that batting order. We're going to go visit the Prospect Stock Exchange. What street is it on, Keaton?
Forest Wall Street. Did you know how happy I was when I thought of that? I thought I was the just most clever motherfucker on the planet.
Can I tell you something? Didn't get it until just right now. This is the first time I understood.
You are an idiot.
Then we're going to play some top podspect, answer some listener cues. Hey, listeners, we have a heated debate on this podcast between Keaton and I about how many reviews, rating and reviews that we have right now. Keaton says we have 50. I say we have 49. But regardless, I do want to say you guys came out in force. So, Keaton, you know what's the easiest way to do this?
Yeah, I have a question for you, Patrick. Do you remember last pod when we were like, we're four away?
Yeah, did we get four? That was exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, one for every base on the diamond. And then yes. We got four more. So that would make you wrong, and that would make me right.
But why doesn't the number say 50, Keaton? That's what I'm bothered by. I'm struggling with it.
That's what I'm telling you, because the number is for ratings, not reviews. Which we just learned now, and when I counted the reviews, we actually have 24.
Right,
not 50.
But it's ratings and reviews. So like if you give a rating, like if you give the review, Keaton, you'll notice there are 5 stars underneath the review. So they are rating us when they give us a review.
Right, they already gave us a rating.
No.
So they came back and then they gave us a review.
No.
Yeah.
We're never going to agree. And Shelley, you're not having any part of this?
I am not. I will be Switzerland in this argument.
Ugh. Well, regardless, I do want to say thank you, fans, because you came out in force this week. At least 4 of you showed up giving us a few reviews. We got great show. Right in the money about wood foof. And I want to tell you, I don't care that you wrote wood foof. I just care that you came and gave us a great review. So thank you.
And that's number 50.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. It says 49.
I like that we got a review from The Bunge.
The penultimate review. Did I pronounce that right?
The word penultimate?
Yes. It's not a word I use on the regular, I'll be honest. Love this podcast. The hosts don't take themselves seriously. I take myself very seriously. I don't know what you're talking about. Which is a must in my book. The best thing about this podcast is that it focuses on prospects' fantasy impact in the rankings and not their real value of a player. I need to know which players will help my team in the future if my team doesn't play defense. Thanks for being awesome. Just need one more review to hit your goal, Patrick.
See? And then it's weird because then we got one more review. So
it is weird. It is weird.
It's so weird that I was right.
Ooh. I don't think you're right. I mean, love it. Hello, all. I love this podcast. I love the personalities, the dynasty-centered info, and the overall package. One small thing, the ums and ahs can sometimes get distracting. This is not a huge deal. I'm no Shakespeare myself, but this is a review, and I think you'd want some honest feedback. Thank for the hours of great info and entertainment. Yeah, oohs and ahs, or ahs and ums. It's tough, man, when you're a baseball nerd and you're trying to do this podcast thing. So I can't pronounce anything, and I get a lot of ums and oohs and ahs, and hopefully you just dig it, or we get better.
You don't realize how hard it is to talk in front of a mic until you try and talk in front of a mic. We definitely appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, for real.
Absolutely, for sure.
Unparalleled prospect analysis. My favorite Dynasty pod provides great in-depth prospect analysis. I think that's
from Johnny Bananas.
Yep. Yeah, Johnny Bananas, Booyah, The Bird, Bunge, The Bunge, and Sushi is Good Food. Thanks, guys. You rule. And if you'd like to rule, you could go give us a 5-star rating and give us a cool review. Whether you spell Woodruff right or not, it doesn't matter to me. Cool. If you have questions for us, hit us up on Twitter at Dynasty Child, or if you need to write something very long, hit us up on our email at dynastychildpod@gmail.com. That's dynastychildpod@gmail.com. All right, let's get into the league.
Wait, we have one more challenge for you guys.
Ooh, what is it?
We want to get to 100 by our 100th episode.
Keen,
that was a joke, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you drunk? Transactions, signings, and trades. Adley Rutschman signed with the O's for $8.1 million, which is under slot. When are we going to see him in the majors, Shelley?
I honestly think that at the end of next year, we'll see him. It might be a little bit faster than what Baltimore kind of wants, and with their timeline. But the dude is ready. He's about to start playing in Florida League Baseball. And he's going to be kind of 50-50 between DH and catching. But I really do think that we're going to see him next year. What do y'all think?
I don't think that's outrageous.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's a bit interesting. I don't know what that means for service time and such with the Orioles. I guess, you know, it have those concerns. And also, like, he's going to rot away on a bad team for a while. So that's unfortunate for him.
That's the catch 22, though, right? You either call him up or you sit on him for a bit. But the more you sit on him, the older he's going to get. And it's not like you're dealing with Bryce Harper, who's like ready for the majors at 18. He's a little bit older. So it's not going to do him any good to keep him in the minors against inferior competition. Probably better just put him in the majors to sell tickets.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Gotta get them tickets. Matt Allen, the Mets actually got it done. $2.5 million signing bonus. How do we feel about drafted prep pitchers in first-year player drafts, Keaton?
Boy, these are more hit or miss than probably want to invest in. I'm just thinking of like the Red Sox in particular, their recent track record with Trey Ball and Jason Grom, and that hadn't worked out. Some other ones with other teams that we've been high on, that hasn't worked out. Usually better if you can get them to go to college first and get a little bit more developed. But on the rare occasion, they do work out. I wouldn't feel bad. I mean, this is a loaded first-year player draft for your fantasy squads, but I wouldn't feel all that bad about like a mid to late first on him, just because of we kind of know who's going to go at the top here. And so if you feel like you're not going to get one of those top five names and there's no one else that you think that you like and you're kind of in the middle or to the back end, I wouldn't think that's a reach to take a stab at him in kind of the mid to late first round. What about you guys?
I'm personally very scared off with prep pitchers. And like you said, Keaton, with the Red Sox, Trey Ball, like, I am just so scared. Like, anytime I see a prep pitcher, I'm just like, no, I'm not going to draft him in my first year player draft. Because he's going to be in the minors for a very long time. What, maybe 4 years, the max? At the minimum.
Yeah.
And pitchers always get hurt. I don't know. The prep pitchers always scare me in first year player drafts.
The value is probably what you want to go for. It might be if you're a trader, if you're in the position to draft him. His value, I mean, we talked about how like the cycle of prospect value goes. They're the highest right when they like are available to be drafted or added into your league. Then they dip when they've been in the minors for a couple of years, and then it shoots right back up again when they're about to be called up. So if you are terrified of a prep pitcher, you can draft him and then trade him this offseason when his value is still high because he's still fresh for something else that you do like, and then someone else has to wait 4 years to see him, not you.
That's true. Never thought about that. I'm not much of a trader, actually. So that could be a blind spot in my fantasy kind of stuff.
In your game?
Yep, my fantasy game.
Yeah, it's I like to trade. I like to trade a lot. Although I've traded less since we started doing this podcast, to be honest.
Giving away all your secrets?
I don't know. I just am not doing it. My two cents on this is I would avoid the prep pitcher. Unless you're really desperate for pitching, but even then you have to wait so long. No, I'm not interested. Call-ups, demotions, suspensions. Hey, Brandon McKay, first start over the weekend. Took a perfecto into the six versus the Rangers. He went six innings with one hit, one walk, and 81 pitches. I didn't get to see this start. Did either one of you guys get to see it?
I saw about two and a third innings. I was kind of coming home from my meetup with my friend. But as soon as I got home, I turned it on, and McKay throws like this nasty, nasty curveball. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I went to go see my friend. This is amazing.
Friendship? Screw friendships. Just give me the baseball.
Screw friendship. She doesn't listen to this, so I could just talk bad about her. No, I'm just kidding. So I saw about two innings of his start against the Rangers, and it was really good. It wasn't really like a lot of strikeouts, but it was like a few nasty pitches and then maybe like a soft grounder. But I don't know. I was very impressed with what I saw.
I didn't get to see a lot. I tried to do a side by side with his start and the Red Sox Yankees game in London. And I was also playing video games while I had them on, and I kept looking over when the Rays were hitting. So I only saw him throw like two pitches, just timing wise. And then I gave up after like 20 minutes because I was like, I'm never going to see him. I'm just doing too much.
Yeah. And I haven't watched any baseball this week, so I did not see the start either. So lean on Shelley's opinion on this one. I mean, is he up for good, or is this just a patch, like a temporary start for him?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the Rays kind of hoped that it was a temporary thing with their 18-inning game a couple games ago. But with what he did, I don't know. I think Tampa is kind of going to be like, oh, crap. Now we got to keep him up for a little bit until he scuffles.
Yeah, and Glasnow had a setback in his injury rehab, and Honeywell also had a setback in his. So they may actually just be forced due to depth to keep him up there.
Good point. Dylan Cease. Hey, we talked about him not that long ago, last podcast, I believe. But he's getting the call for the doubleheader against the Tigers. He's not ready, right? That's kind of the consensus here. Keaton might take a chance on him, but Shelly, you and I are in the camp of no thank you.
Yeah, his second go-through AAA has been a little scuffly. He's always had control issues, and it started to creep back up. So personally, I don't think he's ready. But I am interested to see what he does against the Tigers, because LOL Tigers.
It's a good team to make your debut against.
That is. It's either that or maybe, I don't know, the Orioles or something. But yeah, I don't think he's ready personally.
And Keaton, you're all for it. You ready for him?
Yeah, I mean, it's just they needed an extra pitcher for a doubleheader, so it's not like he's going to be up here permanently. But I'm excited for it.
All right. Noah Syndergaard returns, and Carlos Gomez DFA'd. Leonis Martin released by the Indians. That could mean more time for Leplo, maybe. Carlos Gonzalez DFA'd by the Cubs. So that was a short experiment that didn't work out. Injuries. Stephen Piscotty is on the 10-day IL with a right knee sprain. He's a guy that seems to really struggle with staying healthy. But Frank Lombardo was called up. So that's nice. I like to see him. I don't know. So I guess he'll play in the outfield? Yeah?
Yeah. They had him doing a bunch of stuff out there in spring training. So they were basically kind of just prepping him for maybe not the scenario specifically, but as a way to get him more at-bats, they were playing him in the outfield routinely.
Yeah, I kind of thought he was going to make the team as sort of a utility, super utility guy, but guess
not.
Me
too. He had a really good spring training, too.
Tyler Glasnow had a setback, shut down for 2 more weeks. Does he pitch again this season?
I don't think so. When I saw Glasnow hitting like upper 90s in spring training, I told Rudy, my husband, I'm like, oh no, he's totally going to break. And I think he did. Like, whenever I see any pitcher hitting consistently high 90s, especially in spring training, it totally scares me off. These high velocity guys, I don't know. It's nice, but they break.
And speaking of high velocity guys that break... Luis Severino had a setback and is now out until at least August. Keaton, does he pitch again this season?
I am going to toss him in there in the Glasnow camp and say I don't think that he does. I am, for the same reasons that Shelley is concerned about Glasnow, I'm concerned about Severino. I think this one might be lost.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. It's just a bummer when you know, we get these gifts of pitchers, you know, that are just like amazing to watch, but it's the curse of loving a pitcher is that they just break. Yeah. All right. Cole Hamels, speaking of more broken pitchers, 10 days on the IL with a left oblique problem. Marcell Ozuna, 10 days on the IL with a fractured fingers, plural. Ryan Burr, Jimmy Lambert, Zach Bundy, Ian Hamilton, Jake Berger. Boy, oh boy, the poor White Sox fans. Are you interested in any of these players for Dynasty, Shelley?
Maybe Zach Bundy or Ian Hamilton, just coming out of the pen. But yeah, I don't know. I really feel bad for Jake Berger. Because last year he ruptured his Achilles twice, which is absolutely crazy. And then he has a really bad like ankle bruise or something this year, so he's not going to play for 2 straight years dealing with ankle and feet issues. But what I thought was kind of interesting was like all of this kind of like happened with like in a matter of like 2 days, and I just. When I saw it, I'm just like, oh no. Wow. Poor White Sox fans.
Yeah. They've got some good things going for them, but that's a lot of names to be injured. I don't know. That rebuild is interesting. I'll be curious to see what happens. All right, let's jump into the batting order next. Let's go. All right. How's the start? Keaton, you're supposed to kick this off, yeah?
Yeah, leading off. Shelly, what are you doing with Travis Shaw?
Yeah, Travis Shaw, he is now the mayor of Drop City for me.
Oh, ice cold!
To be honest, I was never really a fan, because even when he went over to Milwaukee, I'm like, how is he doing this? How is he doing this? And now Keston Hira is probably pretty much in Milwaukee for good. And then Travis Shaw is not as good as Moose. So he's going to be hanging out in AAA with Tyler Thornburg. So there you go.
Ooh, brutal.
Yeah, Keaton, that's a heartbreaker for both of us. We've both been Shaw guys.
Yeah.
You know, I think in deep leagues, if you're not competing, he's worth holding on to. Just I just refuse to believe, because everything in the numbers looks so close. Keaton, what are you doing with him?
I mean, if he's not even getting at bats at the major league, I think I'm with Shelley. You got to drop him because no one's going to buy it. So
okay, I think it's my turn to ask a question. In the two hole here, going into next year, is Fernando Tatis a top three shortstop, Keaton?
I don't think that he is, but that's not to say that he will never be. For me, my top three would be Lindor, Story, and Turner, and then probably Bogart's fourth, and then maybe he's fifth. He right now is it him and Story? There's only two shortstops that have double-digit homers, steals, and are hitting over 300, and he's one of them. He's pretty talented, and he's young, so he's probably well on his way. I just don't think he's quite there yet. And while those numbers are very solid, I would still put those other guys ahead of him for now, and their overall body of work and consistency ahead of prospect pedigree and one season of work.
The average for Tatis has got to be sort of artificial because you know, he's got a 440 BABIP and is striking out nearly 30% of the time. So, you know, that's something that we probably can't count on him yet as a player.
440 is rather high.
That's a little high.
A little bit. Yeah. 30% strikeout. Man, I knew it was high. I did not realize it was that high. That's very high. Oof. Am I crazy?
No, I mean, I don't know. I think you're about right. Top five.
I don't know. I'm really discouraged by the strikeout rate, and I have been since he's been in the minors. You know, he's definitely got power speed that is great, but he's posted a few strong walk rates, but really not anything spectacular. I'm not ready to commit him to my top five yet, or top 10 even, maybe.
Oh, whoa. Wow.
That's a little...
Yeah. So I know it's quite conservative, I feel.
I don't know, if you could please name all 10 shortstops that are better than him right now. I'm kidding. Don't do that.
Okay, thanks.
All right. It looks like Patrick's hitting number three for us. So is DJ LeMahieu really an AL MVP candidate?
No, I refuse to believe that. But I will say what he is doing is impressive. And it looks legit. All the numbers look pretty legit. 12 homers, 4 steals. You know, walk rate doesn't set the world on fire, but is, you know, about league average. And makes a ton of contact with an ISO that's close to 200. And it's backed up by the StatCast data. I mean, he's hitting the ball real hard, almost 92 miles per hour. The launch angle is low, and the barrels are just decent. So I believe in what he's doing, but does that make him an MVP candidate to me? No, it doesn't. He's not going to continue to hit 342, but I do think he'll hit, you know, in the 300 range and post strong OBPs, not 390, but maybe 350. So he's legit, but not MVP candidate legit for me.
I think that is correct.
Thanks, Keen.
Shelley, Christian, how did we decide that this is pronounced? I forgot.
I think it's a Pache.
Pache.
Right?
Yeah. All right. Christian Pache and Drew Waters are killing it in AA. Which one of those would you have long term?
For me, it's definitely Christian Pache. He is the much better defender for the AA Braves. He has about a 50 hit tool. A 70 defender with a 55 raw power. And what is interesting is the raw power is starting to show up in game. So his ISO last year was about 146, and now it's 232. He had nine home runs between high A and double A last year. And now he has 11 home runs. And then he had 20 doubles versus 21 doubles this year. The strikeout rate is a tad bit concerning, But the increase in power is amazing to see, because he was never really known to be, he was more of the defender, kind of like the Ender Inciarte type. And now he's Ender Inciarte with more power. But what is concerning for me is he has 7 steals and 10 caught stealings. So when he gets up to the majors, I'm not sure if he'll be able, he'll contribute with the steals. But if he can keep up this power, it's probably about 20 home runs with, you know, hitting a top of the lineup, because he has a decent hit tool. So definitely Christian Pache over Drew Waters, who is also having a good season, but it's more kind of, for to me, kind of Babbitt fueled. And I don't know, I've always just been infatuated with Christian Pache. So
would you say that Christian has that certain panache that you're looking for?
Oh, definitely.
I think I've bought into him a lot more because of you, Shelley. So I think I'd lean the same way. I would say I'm passionate about Pache.
Nice.
Mine was better.
Dylan Carlson was ranked 85 on Jussie's list the last time it was updated, which was June 10th. However, he's continued to just kind of crush AA. Really looks like he doesn't have a whole lot of holes in his game. And kind of set himself up as a must-own prospect. Keaton, where does he finish the year in Jussie's rankings?
Yeah, he is. He's a riser like everywhere. He's hot, and he was a hot topic in a recent chat that you and I are in.
Yes,
lot of folks buying into him. I will even go so far as to say we had a scout give us some grade.
It's true.
an anonymous scout for the St. Louis Cardinals told us he would grade Carlson out as a 60 hit, 55 power, 55 runs, 60 arm, 45 defense in center field, but a 60 in right field. That's above average across the board. That's pretty hot. I think we like that. Those are good numbers, liking what I've seen. I would say probably somewhere around 15 seems pretty good.
I like it. Aggressive.
Yeah.
And he was your top pod spec, wasn't he, Shelley?
Yeah. Yes, he was.
That's quite the win.
Dude is amazing.
Oh, that was a good one. I think you might have the winner of the bracket, but we'll see.
He just barely beat out Raul Barisierta and Chris Bubik. Just barely beat those guys out.
All right. Patrick, so who are you looking forward to getting traded at the deadline for fantasy purposes?
Give me that Clint Frazier. Get him playing somewhere, please. You know, clearly it seems like he might not be a fit for the Yankees organization. You know, he's pretty outspoken, and he's been had some defensive issues. And I would just like to see him playing somewhere, because he's put up strong numbers across the board. And maybe that's partially park influenced, because Yankee Stadium will do that. But I want to see him get a shot wherever it might be, hopefully in a least offense neutral park. But yeah, I'd like to see Clint Frazier get moved for fantasy purposes and for some of my dynasty teams. Do you guys have a trade candidate? Somebody, either one of you?
He would be the same one for me. Yeah. I would just like to see him get consistent playing time. I know he's been a bit of a disaster in the field, but you know, he's still young. Maybe that fleshes out with some consistent playing time, but he just hasn't been able to get it. So I would like to see him flourish like his friend there, Austin Meadows, with some consistent playing time.
Yeah. Do you think we could, do a Clint Frazier and, Matt Boyd kind of thing?
Ooh. Yeah, I like that.
That'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'd take that trade if I was the Tigers and the Yankees. Shelly, you should probably be a GM and stop doing this podcast. Maybe.
Number 7. With McKay's recent call-up, impact pitching prospects are starting to thin out. Or are they? Who's the next prospect arm to get called up?
Yeah. This one's kind of interesting. I mean, I wasn't going to talk about Cease because that would be kind of too easy to say since he's already getting caught up. But there is a guy in the Asteris system, Jose Euquidi. And yeah, he's really putting up some interesting numbers here in AAA. He's 24 and he's a right-handed pitcher. And in 43 innings, he has 64 strikeouts and a 2.89 ERA with a 0.96 whip, with a 16.4% swinging strike rate. So that's really interesting. And with Vamber Valdez being optioned, maybe he'll get the call this week because the Astros kind of have like an open spot like Wednesday or Thursday. So if he's available in your league, I might take a flyer on him because these numbers are really interesting.
I think it's Jesus Luzardo.
Yeah, I think that's the easy answer. I like Shelley's answer because it's, well, crazy. Yeah, I like Jesus Luzardo a lot. Maybe because I'm a bit of an Oakland Athletics fan. But I can't wait to see him pitch.
Agreed.
Keaton.
Yes?
The ESPN Player Rater has Buster Posey ranked number 30 in standard 5x5. Is he really not rosterable anymore?
Boy, if we could ring the sad bells for Buster Posey.
Ding, ding.
He honestly ding, might be. Dong. Those sounded like happy bells, not sad bells. Yeah, I mean, it used to be, you know, that you could count on him for average and OBP, even though he probably wasn't going to hit a bunch of home runs, wasn't going to help you out with a bunch of home runs or anything. But he's becoming more and more fragile and getting less and less hits and drawing less and less walks. I mean, he doesn't even have a double-digit walk rate, which is something that you could have consistently counted on him for. His strikeout rate is the highest it's been since 2012. His walk rate is the lowest it's been since 2014. He's already had, I think, two stints on the DL, IL. This season he's hitting 240. His OBP is barely above 300. It has never been this low. Ever. So he might be. He honestly might be. I own him in one league and I benched him for Christian Vasquez, which absurd at the time because he went on the DL and I needed a catcher and Vasquez was like the only catcher that was available that was getting time. But that turned out to be a really good thing with how absurd Vasquez has been playing. So I don't feel as bad about that. But there's nothing that you are getting out of Buster Posey. Nothing. I think this is the end, and it's sad.
Wow. Yeah, and wow. In my 12-team two-catcher league, I dropped Buster Posey this week for Chan Cisco, so I felt so Ooh. Dirty. I felt so wrong.
Oh, man. Yeah, that one hurts.
Yeah, yeah, that was, yeah, it felt so wrong.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, I mean, it's sad when you think, like, there's guys that you would have never have thought you would have rostered over him that are producing at a better rate. And you know that there's probably another stint on the IL coming at some point. I don't know if you can even count him for 100 games. It's should be Joey Bart time here as fast as possible.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about Posey. And I haven't looked at him much this year. And by the sound of it, I probably don't want to. But I analyzed him for the triple play last year. And sort of found that he was having a steady decline, particularly with his power. He just wasn't going to be able to hit. But I expected him to be able to maintain the average and the walk rate. So that's shocking to hear that that he's really failing to do that even.
Yeah, his walk rate was really consistent for like, what am I looking at? Like almost six straight years at like 10 to 10.5%. And it's tanked. And he's striking out at about 4% more than he has at any, like I said, since 2012. He's just not giving you anything.
I wonder if he's injured on top of or something. It just seems odd to have that steep of a decline.
I think it's because he's old and a catcher.
Maybe.
All right, Patrick, number 9 hitter here. Who are your 8 ideal home run derby dudes?
All right. So Gallo, obviously. Vlad Jr., Aaron Judge, Mike Trout. Mike Trout hits home runs and makes it look so freaking easy. I don't think anyone makes it look as smooth as he does. Christian Yelich, Cody Bellinger, Peter Alonso, and Keaton, you'll love this one, Josh Bell.
I would love it more if you put Chavis in there. But I do like Josh Bell. Good news is a lot of those guys are doing it this year.
Yeah. Gallo didn't get an invite, though.
He didn't? What? Oh.
Yeah, the last update that I saw, never even asked.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there was a reporter that was after one of the games, asked him if he was going to do it, and he was like, well, the MLB hasn't even reached out, so that makes the decision kind of easy. I just remember him in the Futures game. Yeah. He took an outside curveball and almost launched it. I think they were at Globe Life Park, too, and launched it, like, almost clear out of the stadium. It was so gorgeous.
Yeah, wasn't he the one who, like, hit the truck?
Yes, a truck up there. Yes, he
was. Yes.
God, he's good.
Yeah.
Those are the days, guys. Yep.
Lucas Giolito had himself a tremendous Futures game that game as well.
And now the future is present, as he's pretty damn good these days.
I wonder if that's why they call it the Futures game.
Let's head down to Forest Wall Street and hit that Prospect Stock Exchange. Buy, sell, hold with some prospects here. We've got, first one I'm going to kick it off with is Jorge Mateo, 24 years old at AAA for Oakland, slashing .313, .345, .540 with 12 homers and 16 steals. So those wheels are intriguing. If he can produce anything like that slash line in the majors. Buy, sell, hold, Jorge Mateo, Shelley.
I'm buying here, especially with the Franklin Barreto call-up. Maybe I can catch an owner kind of a little bit upset with, oh no, you know, Mateo's like killing it in AAA. Why wasn't he caught up? But I'm buying. I'm loving the steals, and the homers are also nice as well. So I'm buying. Like I think Mateo is, well, better than Barreto, and Mateo should be playing.
Shelley. Hold on, the phone. You think he's better than Barreto?
Yeah.
I agree that he is better than Barreto.
Oh, God. You both of you. Get off the podcast. God. Okay. So you're...
It makes me sad to say it, but sometimes truth hurts.
So Keaton, does that mean you're buying as well?
I am.
Well, for the record, I'm selling. Just saying. And I'm buying Barreto. Jazz Chisholm, 21-year-old in AA for Arizona. Not the prettiest of slash lines. .189, .307, .424 with 15 homers and 9 steals. What to do with Jazz Chisholm?
Personally, I would try to sell. I was never a fan of Chisholm. The Diamondbacks are pretty aggressive with his assignment to AA. And he is obviously not hitting with that .189. And whenever he does hit, it's a home run. So it's really weird. I don't know. He's just extremely aggressive. I was just never a fan of his. So I'm trying to sell.
I'm holding. Because the steals and the homers are there. And I feel like the OBP is there too, even though he's hitting under 200, his OBP is still over 300, which is pretty impressive. So I think that gives me a little bit of hope that some other stuff can turn around. So I would say hold, because I'm not sure if anybody would really want to buy at any kind of decent-ish price.
Yeah, right now everything looks great except for that K rate. 35%. Yeesh. You can see why he's not... Well, he's got that .189 average. All right. Trevor Larnach. Is that how you say that guy's last name? Larnach. Thank you. 22 years old, high A for Minnesota. He's slashing 310, 377, 464 with 5 homers and 3 steals. He was a popular guy to pick up on draft day. What do we say now?
Hold.
I'm buying. I've always loved the dude, especially he has about a 60-65 game power with a pretty decent hit tool with about a 50. So I've always been a big fan. So I'm buying wherever I can.
Yeah, I think I'm buying as well. Interesting dude. Speaking of interesting dudes, Trent Grisham, 22 years old, outfielder for Triple A Milwaukee. Dude has 17 home runs and 7 stolen bases in around 300 at bats, a little over that. He's hit at 2 different levels for the Brewers this year, double-digit walk rates in both. And he was mentioned by the one and only Shelley Verstrate on her weekly article, The Stash List, over at Rotographs. And he was under intriguing profiles. So, Shelley, are you suggesting that we buy this prospect?
Yes, totally. He kind of has been on the downside of a lot of like Dynasty fans, Dynasty players. But he is an OBP... an OBP god, I guess. He's had his lowest walk rate is about 14%. So his lowest OBP has probably been about 346. And he is just straight up killing it this year. The Brewers started him out in AA, but they recently promoted him to AAA. And in about 8 games, I mean, that's a small sample size, but he's hitting about 300. He has 4 home runs in 8 games with a stolen base. Dude is absolutely killing it this year. So he is a total buy for me right now.
I am going to buy.
Okay. Next guy on the list, Seth Beer, 22 years old. First base / outfield prospect in AA for Houston. He split his time pretty evenly between 2 levels this year at high A and double A, and fairly consistent numbers between the 2 levels with similar ABs. The walk rate has remained strong, but remained under that sexy double-digit range we like to see. It's hovered around 9%. The Ks and ISO have fallen with this promotion, but the power is still showing up, and the average has only dropped to a respectable 276. So, Seth Beer, buy, sell, hold.
Buy.
He's a definite buy for me because he's a first baseman. So I love him. I really think he's really something interesting. So it's a buy for me.
Well, I think what's been impressive is the making the jump to double A and maintaining the walk rate. That's something that the K rate going up, I mean, it didn't really go up that much, and the average is kind of, like you pointed out, that drop is respectable, but not being overly aggressive and maintaining the same kind of approach that he had when he was successful at the lower levels, that's kind of now facing the upper levels of the minors where things start to get real testy, but that walk rate stayed the same. That's impressive.
Yeah, at least we can agree that, you know, Seth Beer is the best beer prospect in Houston. All right, fine. That was not my best joke, but it was a joke. Carter Kieboom, 21 years old, AAA for Washington. The numbers still look really good for this guy, but somehow his stock feels like it's lost some of its helium that it had earlier in the year. You know, he struggled pretty hard when he was in the majors in his brief time, but picked up right where he left off in the minors. And now he's got 13 bombs, 3 stolen bases, 318, 435, 596 slash line. So... do you sell with those numbers and sort of the lost shine, or are you holding in the hope that he gets up to the majors, Shelley?
I'm definitely holding. I love Kieboom. He's going to be the everyday second baseman for the Nationals next year. And I've always loved Kieboom. He's not good defensively, so when they promoted him with Turner being on the IL, and they said that he was going to playing shortstop every day, I was like, oh no, this is not going to be good, because he's not a shortstop, he's a second baseman. but I am either holding or buying, because the dude is going to kill it next year. The dude has the smoothest swing. Like, if you've ever seen it, the smoothest swing. So if you can either hold on to the shares you got or buy, it's going to pay off next year.
I am buying. I am not scared off by his difficult first cup of coffee. It happens to the best of prospects. He's still really good, and he will be really good. Buying.
All right, and the last prospect, Abraham Toro Hernandez. He's 22-year-old third baseman for AA in Houston. He's a bit under the radar in what is a crazy system over there in Houston, but he's putting up some very solid numbers in AA. So he is buried not only by the talent, but also just by the sheer amount of good players that Houston already has in the majors. So what is there to do with the surprisingly talented corner infielder?
I'm buying. I like it.
Yep.
I like the profile.
I am too. I mean, I honestly think that the Astros use him as a trade chip this trade season. And I would love to see him actually be traded, because there's no playing time in Houston. So if he gets traded, I honestly think that his stock will actually rise.
Yeah, agreed. I love him. So I'm anxious to see him get some at-bats in the majors, wherever that might be. Super stoked about him.
Another former Top Pod Spec nom.
Yeah, correct. All right, let's play America's favorite game, Top Pod Spec. All right, so Shelly, why don't you kick off the game of games here, where we bring a prospect to the pods and see who can find the best one, a best random prospect.
Yeah, so I'm going to bring another prospect who didn't get any love from Jesse, because Jesse is mean and doesn't give any type of hype to these really interesting guys. Just kidding, Jesse. So I'm bringing Rodolfo Castro. He is a second baseman in the Pittsburgh system. He's 20 years old, and he was a J2 signing back in 2015. He has about 55 power, 55 speed, and he had a down year last year, but he's really bounced back this year. He has about 14 home runs and 13 doubles in A-ball, and then he was promoted to high A just this week, which is pretty interesting. The dude is absolutely killing it with the power, like I said. 14 home runs in 61 games, which is pretty interesting. The only downside to him is I was kind of hoping that with his above average speed that the stolen bases would be there, but he has 6 stolen bases with 5 caught steals. So that's a tad bit concerning. And he is a development project for the Pirates, but he's a possibility for an up-the-middle player with power. So if you're in a pretty deep dynasty league, I would take a flyer on Castro. But yeah, it's a pretty kind of far-out guy, so kind of interesting.
That's a fun profile at second base. It's kind of like what's-his-face Baez there.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of power.
Yeah.
A little bit high on the swing and miss, Shelly. Again, I think you might like strikeouts more than you really know.
Y'all are a bad influence on me.
Keaton, who you got?
I got Lewin Diaz. 22-year-old first baseman in Minnesota system, currently in AA. He was also not in Jesse's top 200. He has a 55 hit and a 60 power, so take that, Shelly's prospect. A whole 5 more on the power.
Ew.
55 speed, though, so not quite there on the speed with Shelly's prospect. But his K rate has consistently been under 20% at every level. That's been pretty good. His walk rate, though, could use a little bit of work. It's kind of been like around 6, 7% at pretty much every level. So that could come up a little bit. 15 homers on the year so far, though, and slashing 296, 532, 553. Sexy 243 ISO. Patrick, I know how you love that ISO. That helped him earn his promotion to AA, where in a small sample size, his ISO has gone up to 326. That is a little wild. So profile there looks a little Josh Bell-like, right? Well, it's probably a little bit aggressive. But I do like the profile quite a bit. And Minnesota does certainly need a first baseman. So they may have found one in Lewin Diaz.
All right. All right. I'm digging that profile, Keaton. But wait till you guys hear about the prospect I've got for you. I could not find anything on this guy. His name is Dio Will Burgos. He's an 18-year-old outfielder for the St. Louis Cardinals. He's at rookie ball right now. He was signed by the Cardinals in 2017 out of the DR for $300,000. And like I said, I couldn't find any scouting reports on the dude. I do like the swing. I was able to find a video, and I like how he's barreling up the ball and especially where he's making contact. Seems to be right on it. He's had double-digit walk rates for both 2018 and 2019, and significantly cut down the swing and miss this year. His power-up is up as well. He hit six homers in 242 ABs last year, and he's already hit five this year in 103. And, oh, he's posting a 247 ISO. along with the improved plate skills and the power, he's been swiping bags as well. Last year, he stole three in all those at-bats, and he's already up to four this year. And the WRC Plus is a stupid 178. So plenty of things to like in the numbers, but not a lot of scouting analysis. So that's my dude. Definitely a watch list guy for deep leagues. All right. Keaton, why don't we start it off with you this time?
Your guy is interesting, but I want to see a little bit more from him. Because like you said, a bit of a down year last year, but doing real well this year and a bit of a small sample size. And I think I like Rodolfo Castro and what that could turn into. So Shelly gets my vote with Rodolfo Castro.
All right. And Shelly?
Yeah. Sorry, Patrick. I'm going with Diaz here. I've written about him before. Like, I really like what he's doing, so it's Diaz for me.
Yeah, same for me. I love Lewin Diaz. He's a guy that I have been that's been on my radar for a little bit. So yeah, like that pick a lot, Keaton.
Two in a row.
Oh, Shelly, what's happening? This is not good.
This is not good at all.
No.
I disagree. I think it's great.
I'm going to try to step up my game next year or next week.
Patrick, you haven't won one in six pods.
That's a long time. Next pod's going to be the pod. I'll figure it out. All right, let's stop playing this stupid game and get into listener questions. Keaton, what do the people have to say?
The people. The people, they sent in their questions. And first up, after I cough, is Evan. And he says, hypothetical, let's say Hunter Green comes back next year, pulls an Anderson Espinoza, needs a second Teage. Given his profile, you're the Reds. Would you consider trying to bring him back as an infielder?
I wouldn't, actually. The Reds do not have any issue with middle infielders in their system. Yeah, I would still just try to see if I could get Hunter Green on the mound.
Boy, I think if this scenario was to play out, that I'd at least explore the option. Because, it's just so much time to miss, if he was to miss another year. So, yeah, I think I'd explore it. And, he was a shortstop. So, yeah, I think I would. I mean, granted, you're right, Shelly. The Reds don't need it, but maybe they trade him or he gets at bats in the outfield or something. I don't know.
Better have it and not need it than need it and not have it. Someone told me that once.
Wise words, Keaton.
Yeah. Meathead checks in. He says, 7x7 scoring dynasty, runs, home runs, RBI average, walks. I don't know what AN is. Do either of you?
I do not.
No, I have no idea. ABs, maybe? It's supposed to be ABs? I don't know.
Could be. With a, that is right next to the N's. Sure, we'll go with ABs. And then doubles and plus triples for offense. Would you cut a guy like Armenteros based on his performance so far? Based on his performance so far, cut him loose for a take on a new flyer. Also, how much faith do you have in Yusnel Diaz to be productive in a format like that?
Oh, boy. This is a hard one.
I guess it would depend on how deep the league is, right? On whether or not that's I would up. Cut Armenteros loose.
Yeah.
Well, he gives us, what, 7x7 scoring dynasty. He doesn't give us the number of players in the league. It sounds deep.
I mean, personally, I would rather have Diaz than Armenteros. But I don't know if I would cut Armenteros. I'm just assuming, like you said, based on the 7x7, that it's a pretty deep league. But if Diaz was on the wire, sure, I would cut Armenteros for Diaz.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Shelley. I'm not super high on Diaz either. This is a deep question. He is posting some interesting numbers in the minors. Now, the slash line itself doesn't look all that great. But the rest of the stuff kind of does. So I think I'd rather have Diaz.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with both of you as well. Chris asked, Trey Mancini or Chris Bryant, rest of the way, 18-team keeper. Say it right, Keaton, Trey Man Weenie, Booyah. Put some chocolate on that shiznick and tell your friends Shelly baked it. Boy, there is a lot to unpack there.
Maybe our best question ever. That was fantastic. Really strong stuff there, Chris. Loving it. Hope you've left a review, man, because you got some skills.
Maybe he's the one who is happy about wood fluff.
Maybe. I'm going to lean Bryant on this one.
Yeah, I would have to agree. But this is not to poo-poo on what Mancini is doing this year. He's having an excellent season. But I just believe in Chris Bryant and who's around him more than...
The dumpster wasteland that is the Baltimore Orioles.
Exactly. So definitely Chris Bryant for me.
Maybe Mancini is... the guy that I hope gets traded the trade deadline.
Oh, hey.
That's a good one, too, because he's team controlled. So they could probably get something good for him.
Yeah.
He's under team control for a while.
But I'm in agreement. I would say Bryant. Get that chocolate out of here. AOK Tigers fan, will Dan Jansen be good? Any other post hype to watch? Well, actually, I want to get the. So I'm going to cut you off, Patrick, because this is my segment. Get out of here.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to answer the second part first. Post-type guy, we already touched on, Jorge Mateo. I like him a lot, and I would say he is worth the hold, and he's going to be good if he ever gets to play. So that's what I would do. And I would say catchers are tough, and the Blue Jays are going to let Jansen play. I think he's good enough and young enough where he can probably turn nothing into something. But we're just going to take a little bit. Patrick?
I've cut Kenley everywhere. Not Kenley, Dan. I don't own Kenley anywhere either. But I've cut Danny Jansen wherever I had him in Dynasty. You know, catching prospects take a while to develop at the majors. And, you know, his breakout was really quite sudden in the minors. You know, he put up basically 2 years or maybe a year and a half of really solid stats. And the StatCast stuff just looks putrid for him. I am not interested in him. I don't know if he's going to be good. I certainly don't have the patience to find out. And another post hype to watch. How about Franklin freaking Barreto?
We've been saying that for 2 years.
Yeah. With Danny Jansen, he kind of, like you said, kind of came out of nowhere last year when he got, I think, LASIK surgery or got glasses or something.
Yeah, he got glasses. Got
yeah.
Sweet sports glasses.
Yeah, so he got those like sweet sport goggle things, right? And he was able to see and kind of was able to hit. But this year, it's so bad. Like, he's getting not a lot of playing time. Like, they're playing Luke Maley ahead of him. Like, that's not good. Yeah, and going forward, I don't know. I'm just trying to either... I'm trying to sell Danny Jansen wherever I can. I doubt I can. So he's probably a drop for me. And a post-hype prospect to watch, Carter Kieboom.
There you go. Francisco Mejia.
Oh, that's another good one.
Last question from Jack. Brennan Lau? Low? Lau? Whatever. And I'm assuming that's... Was it Tyler? Molly? Melee?
Yeah.
Or Bohm. I say Bohm. I love him so much.
I think if I owned the three of these, I wouldn't want to trade Brandon Lau for Bohm. Because I really believe in what Lau has done in the majors. But I think if I was rebuilding and I think Bohm has the most upside. So I'd agree with Keaton in that sense.
Yeah, for me, it's Bohm as well. Basically because, I'm not a fan of Molly. And Brandon Lau, I think it's Lau, Low, whatever. Lau? Okay. Tampa has a lot of really interesting infielders, and I don't know if Brandon is good enough to get everyday playing time, and I think Bohm can get everyday playing time going forward in Philadelphia. So it's Bohm for me.
Any more, Keaton?
It is finished.
Okay, cool. Thanks. All right, let's close this mother effer out. This has been Dynasty's Child, part of the Dynasty Guru website. I've been your host, Patrick Magnus, and you can find us all on the internet. Keaton, what have you written about?
That TP life. Took last week off because I was traveling and real work life was a little bit ridiculous last week, so I didn't get to push out a Keaton and Real. But my first half All Disappointment Team will be coming out on Friday.
Nice. And Shelley, you got any in-depth articles or anything coming out?
Yeah. Well, like Keaton, my real work life got a little crazy this week. So I had to kind of push back my going deep over at Pitcher List. But I'm doing a deep dive on Jose Quintana. So hopefully towards the end of the week, that should be coming out.
Yeah, that sounds not fun.
It is not fun.
Good luck. You can find me on Twitter, where I've been tweeting about all of my not a lot about baseball, honestly, mostly about my trip right now because I've traveled to America. But I'll get back to baseball when I've got some time. But you can find me on Twitter at the Green Magnus. You can find Shelly on Twitter at ShellyV_643, and she does tweet about baseball, and it's good. And then you can find Keaton at the Spoken Keats on Twitter, where he is a pretty mixed bag of tweets. Wouldn't you say, Keaton?
I am a mixed bag. There's some baseball, There's some humor. There's some darker humor. Some a lot of my cats.
Keaton, where can people find you?
Find me having a brunch pretty much anywhere. You can get some crab cake Benny's and a nice mimosa. You can find me working out, getting some steps in along the lake, working on my health, and then probably having another brunch.
All right. That's going to do it.
Oh, by the way,
before
we wrap up, please. We are aware that the last episode did not post to Stitcher. We do, however, have absolutely no idea why, but we are working on it, and we apologize for that, and we will let you folks know as soon as we figure out what went wrong and when it's fixed. So we apologize for that.
Thanks, Keaton. I didn't even know that. I should probably have known that.
Well, you did have a whole mess of travels just happening, so.
I did.
But, yeah, we got myself and our webmaster, Tyler, working on it, trying to figure it out. We're not sure why it happened, but we are trying to figure it out.
I'd like to get Tyler back on the show. He was a blast.
He was fun.
Do that sometime.
Speaking of dark humor.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it. Have an awesome day, and as always, be the best bird dog you can be.
I'm halfway home at the pub on the corner of the street. I see kids from school, but I stare down at my feet, sports on TV. They scream for victory. A few blocks down, there's Dawn. She's got spinach on her teeth. In between the front ones, just a little bitty leaf, and I try to speak. Dawn makes me nervous. Cause animals like me back. We had a dog once, we all just called her cat. It was mum's idea. She's got a great sense of humour. Later tonight, some soup, then I'll probably send a text. Hey Dawn, it's Jim, would you like to have some sex? And if that's too weird, maybe just a hot chocolate.